State of opportunity.
State of opportunity.
I want to be a firefighter.
A ballerina.
I want to be a Batman.
Please stand and join us for the pledge.
Our state constitution says, and I'm quoting here, that the Michigan legislature shall maintain a system of free public elementary and secondary schools, and every school district shall provide for the education of its pupils without discrimination. That's it. Pretty simple. And yet, when you compare it to other state constitutions, you notice that Michigan's law seems to be missing a few key words, like equitable or fair or adequate. We've promised our kids a free education, yes, but is it equitable and adequate? I'm Jennifer Guerra. For our State of Opportunity special, The Education Gap, we'll spend the next hour in 2 fifth-grade classrooms in 2 different districts. The school districts are pretty close to one another, less than a 45-minute drive apart. But the educational experience the kids receive in the 2 districts, well, let's take a look.
Okay, everybody should have 1 pencil.
Our first school is located in a low-income suburb of Detroit. We'll call it School X. The administration didn't want the name of the school or the district to be used for fear that they or their students would be blamed for, well, being poor. Our story begins on the first day of school.
Good morning. Hi, sweetie. What's your name?
This is Catherine Bauer. She goes by Kathy. She's an art teacher by training.
That's where my heart lies.
But art classes are a luxury this district can no longer afford. So this year, for the first time ever, she is teaching fifth grade. She started teaching in the district 13 years ago. Since then, she's been bounced around from school to school, grade to grade, kindergarten, second grade, third grade, junior high, you name it, she's probably taught it.
But you know what? I'm getting used to it, and I'm unfortunately low man out of the on the totem pole.
Is this sort of where people end up if they're on the low end of the totem pole?
Unfortunately, sometimes, yes. Yes.
Bowers admits she's pretty nervous. For one thing, she's got a reporter following her around. This is her first time ever teaching fifth grade. And to top things off, she's got a real-world math problem to figure out.
I think that they've added you to my list since this morning. So I will get you a name tag. I will get you a desk. Okay, can you be patient? Thank you.
She's got 32 desks in her classroom and 40 kids on her class list. 40 kids who, by pretty much every measure, are considered at risk. The test scores are the lowest in the district, well below the state average. Just about every kid qualifies for free or reduced lunch. Most of the children are African American, and most live with a single parent or grandparent in the low-income apartments just up the street. I have yet to hear of anyone's parents or grandparents who finished college. As one teacher told me, there's nothing about this school that's easy, and a lot of teachers try to avoid it.
Everyone should also have one of these papers.
It's pretty chaotic the first day of class. Bowers can't get her Elmo hooked up, which is a sort of projector on steroids, so she busies herself handing out some get-to-know-me worksheets.
It asks you about your favorite book, what your favorite subject in school is.
The already small room feels even more cramped once the kids start streaming in, and the chaos is palpable, partly because there aren't enough desks for all the kids, partly because it's the first day of school, and partly because, well, there are just so many kids in the room. Most of these fifth graders come with backpacks, but there's hardly anything inside them. Maybe a pencil or two, some crayons. Bowers has to supply everything else. Notebooks, folders, markers, glue sticks, scissors. She's even provided each child with a small plastic water bottle so they can stay hydrated. For breakfast today, the kids will have to make do with 1 cinnamon Pop-Tart and a small carton of orange juice. I'm told the milk delivery guy didn't show up, so the kids don't get any cereal. Most teachers I talk to agree. It's not the most filling way to start the day. And they're quick to tell me, this isn't just a first day of school glitch. It happens a lot.
I'm going to give you just a few minutes to go ahead and eat your breakfast. And you can just kind of chat a little bit with the people around you.
While the kids are eating, let's take a minute to check out the other school we'll be following this hour.
Good morning, Allison. Oh, look at you, Chint. How nice you look.
This is Meadows, a 5th and 6th grade school in the Novi School District, about 30 minutes west of Detroit.
Okay, for those of you who I didn't meet this morning, I'm Mrs. McDonald, and I am so glad to be here. We get serious, and there's a lot of learning that goes on here. But we also like to have fun and laugh. You will see that. So if that's you, you're in the right spot.
Carrie McDonald is one of three teachers for this fifth grade classroom at Novi Meadows. It's called team teaching. The room is divided up into two big classrooms with a collapsible wall in between so the kids can exchange sides depending on the subject. Carrie McDonald has 27 kids on her side. The other teacher, Tom Peronis, has 27 on his. The third teacher, Nola Bishop, teaches special education. She works with about 10 kids from the class.
Hey, boys and girls, why are we here?
McDonald and Peronis have been teaching fifth grade together for 14 years. That's longer than some marriages last. They almost sound a little apologetic when they tell me how lucky they are to have the type of kids they have in their class.
In general, the kids have a lot of help at home, and they have a lot. Their parents are role models. Most of them come from families that their parents are reading as well, or they're working and have to do work at home. So they're kind of modeling those things.
Ethnic diversity at Novi Meadows is huge. Kids from Japan, Romania, Iraq, Brazil. But economic diversity, not so much. While there are exceptions, in general, the kids at Meadows come from middle to upper middle class families. Two-parent households are the norm, and most parents went to college. It's day two here at Meadows, and already the kids are well into their independent reading.
You can find a spot anywhere in this team area, not in the project room. You're welcome to use the pillows or the chairs or whatever, as long as we're all sharing.
Unlike the classroom in School X, where there are so many desks, kids have a hard time finding a clear path to the pencil sharpener at the front of the room. The kids in Novi have more than enough room to sprawl out, and they do, on body pillows, on the rug, on yoga mats. One young boy, named Deshaun, is sprawled out on the peace sign rug in the front of the classroom. He's almost done with The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. I asked him what he thought about the book.
It's really good. They do all these funny things to try to get this guy out of slavery, especially Tom Sawyer. Huck would want to have his brain instead.
Would you want his brain?
Not really. I'd start acting like a guy out of the 1800s.
That's not probably very cool in 2013, is it?
No, not really. It's all old-fashioned.
All right.
Back at School X.
Your behaviors.
Independent reading is on the back burner. So is math, language arts, science, and social studies. For the first week, the teacher, Kathy Bauer, has to spend the majority of her time working with the kids on discipline.
Ms. Bauer!
Hey, Ms. Bauer!
What are we doing?
A fight broke out between two boys in her class while they were standing in line to go to the gym. But they didn't make it to gym. Instead, they wound up in the principal's office.
Okay, boys, let me tell you what my expectations are, and then I'll hold you responsible for following, okay? Yes or no?
The principal, Deidre Zakim, handles the situation like a pro. She makes the kids write down what happened and then read it aloud to each other.
And we're teaching you how to use your words. You understand me? Look at me, please. We're teaching you how to use your words, not your fist. Because you're going to get hurt very badly if every time someone touches you, you punch. Same thing for you. When do I expect you to fight?
Not sure if you caught that. The tape's a little fuzzy here. When the principal asks the two boys where she expects them to fight, without missing a beat, they both reply, at home.
When do I expect you to fight? No, I don't. I don't ever expect you to fight. Ever, even at home. When do I expect you to fight?
Nowhere.
Good. Now, mom's rules may be different, but Mrs. Zakim never expects you to fight.
I hear this phrase over and over during my time at School X. Some variation of, I don't know what you do at home, but here at school, we have a different set of rules. Zakim tells me the population at her school is incredibly transient. There are less than a handful of kids in fifth grade right now that started kindergarten at the school. So every year, she and her team of teachers have to train the kids on how to behave.
They have such anger issues, and then you meet the parent and it explains everything. They're angry because their parents are angry. They're modeling that behavior. And it takes an entire year or more sometimes to turn it around, and then they move. And then we get a new set of them.
It makes teaching incredibly challenging. Zakim says at the beginning of the school year, it's 70% discipline, 30% learning. And you can hear it in the classroom. Even one of the fifth grade students notices.
They talk too much. They don't listen. They don't follow the rules. And I get frustrated because then I have to have consequences. I don't know how to say.
Consequences?
Yeah. I don't even do nothing.
Hannah McAllister is the quintessential good kid making the best out of a tough situation. She and her baby sister live with their grandparents in a small brick ranch house around the corner from school. Mom is in and out of the picture. Dad's in jail. With her black high tops, skinny jeans, and pink rhinestone hoodie, she shyly looks up at me and says if she could change one thing about her school, it would be to add more teachers and make the classes smaller. But for now, she'll just settle for doing some long division in math. That's right, long division. Here's where the disparity really grabs you. In Novi, the kids started math doing number theory. At School X, where Hannah goes, they did an addition worksheet on their first day of math. Number theory in one fifth grade, addition in another.
It was easy.
Do you think some kids in your class struggled with it?
Yeah, because last year they struggled with subtraction and addition. So, but I knew everything.
Would you like to be doing some harder stuff in math?
Yeah. Like division, two numbers and two numbers, like two numbers divided by two numbers. Like we kind of did that last year, but sometimes like we only like talked about it, but it was kind of hard, and I want to learn that.
Support for State of Opportunity comes from the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, a partner with communities where children come first.